Hey, well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. We'll gather together. During the pandemic, we did this, didn't we? One of the highlights of my day. We did it on the Feast of Divine Mercy, and such grace flowed on that day. Some amazing stuff. The Walk to Mary, very quickly, I received an email, and thank you for writing. I just wanted to let you know that I do read your emails. Sometimes, if I have the time late at night when I'm going through a lot of these, I'll fire off a couple sentences back and just let you know that I've seen it, and I'm praying for you. But sometimes I get so many emails, I can only read them and pray for them or remember them. Got this email the other day. The person says, look, been listening to your show for years. Thanks for your evangelization. I heard yesterday you'll be taking part in the Walk to Mary. She says, I hope to see you there. Or he says, I'm hoping to see you there. The reason for the email is to mention the significance of the date of this walk and our Blessed Mother's intercession in bringing the war in Europe to an end. May 7th, 1994, or 1945, the German army in the north surrendered to Field Marshal Montgomery. On May 8th, the remaining German army surrendered to General Eisenhower. The Walk to Mary weekend is a great time to pray and thank the Blessed Mother for her love and intercession for her children. And I think that's a great idea because that's when the Walk to Mary will be. It'll be on May the 7th. Many people spend the night. They attend Mass the next day on May the 8th. Let's pray for world peace, right? Let's pray for the end of this war in Russia. You know, let's pray for Ukraine. Let's pray for our enemies. All right, let's pray for our own country that we get things right here, right? That God will protect this nation from war, from degeneration, from disaster, from disease, from corruption, from atheism, all the things that lead us away from God. And that's a powerful day to do that. So if you can do that, I know Father Rocky is going to be taking your prayer intentions, so we'd be more than glad to go ahead and pray for you there as well. Speaking of intentions, just a real quick update. Yesterday, we were praying for a young girl that went missing. Two stories. One, I had two of these stories that came in. The first one, I received an email the other day. Could you pray for the safe return of a three-month-old baby boy Brandon? He was kidnapped yesterday from his grandmother's apartment in North Carolina. During the chapel, I was praying for that particular intention. Just got word today that the baby has been found and is safe. So we are grateful for that. And I just want to thank you. He says, the baby was found safe. Praise God. Important response to prayer. Do want to pray for the family of Lily Peters. Yesterday, we were praying for a girl that went missing in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Wisconsin police announced that they've arrested a juvenile suspect, in the shocking death of that 10-year-old girl who was found murdered near her aunt's home. So I'm not going to go into all the details. I just ask you to pray for the family. I just could not even fathom losing my 10-year-old daughter. I just, you know, in such an unfortunate way. So let's pray for those who mourn, those who are the victims of violence and atrocities. Also, I do want to pray for the Holy Father. You know, I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, the Lord gave me the grace to suffer. I had fallen, you know, I missed a step, and it really hurt my shoulder, and I threw my hip out or something, I don't know, and, you know, I'm not old, I should get up and walk around, but man, it had been killing me for a long time. When I saw the Holy Father on March 25th, just trying to walk, my heart went out to him, because when you've got pain, you know, when you can't sit, when you can't lay, when you can't move, it's hard. For the second time in a week, the Pope canceled all activity for medical reasons. He's got pain in his knee. He also has been suffering from sciatica, and this comes on advice from his medical team. The Pope has interrupted the activities that were planned for today, including participation in the Council of Cardinals, and he doesn't do that lightly. You know, he's 85 years old, and I just want to ask you to pray for him today, all right? I mean, we so often think, oh, he's the Pope. He doesn't need our prayers. No, he needs our prayers, and I think he is a victim soul. I think he suffers for all the ills of the world. I mean, John Paul II had to endure this. You look at all the great saints. They all suffered. We all have this opportunity to suffer and to unite it to that of the Lord. Spoke to a priest last night who lost his mother. And he says, you know, in the Diary of St. Faustina, the Lord told Faustina that those who suffer, those who resemble him most in this life, you may have a lot of heavy crosses in your life, right? You may go through a very difficult time. You will resemble him the most in the next life. And I just think that is an extraordinary, extraordinary promise. I just think it's fantastic. So if you're suffering, offer, you know, to our Lord on the cross and allow it to be meritorious. All right? Don't waste that suffering. I guarantee you, you'll be blessed for it. I'm joined by my colleague, Maggie. She's my producer on the show, does a great job behind the scenes, and she's going to pray with us today. Maggie, anything you want to lift up or pray for today as we begin?
Thanks, Drew. I'd like to pray for my mom. She found out yesterday she's got to have a foot surgery coming up soon. I hope that goes well. And I'd also like to lift up my dad, too. He's going to have both knees replaced before the end of the year. So just health and well-being for them.
Yeah, you're talking about suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's something else. We'll certainly pray for that. And again, if you want to, Maggie will bring your intentions to the air here in just a few minutes. We're going to be praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and you can put your intentions at Drew Mariani Show. Okay, that's the web page. That's the Twitter page. You can also email me, and when you do email me, thank you for sending me the answered prayers. I'll share some of those tomorrow. It's drew@relevantradio.com. You can send your prayer petitions there too, but Maggie definitely sees them on Twitter and gets them on the air, and your answered prayers definitely sent to me there, okay? And just put an answer prayer in the byline. Let me know how God has answered these prayers. But let's pray for you right now. Whatever your intentions are, we have our spiritual family gathered. I love this time. I know God hears these prayers. I know he's responsive. So we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Hey, and you know, I've been praying for my buddy Jay, had heart surgery, and just sent me a text before the broadcast. He's home today, and I know he's very grateful. He wanted to thank me, and I know thank you for the prayers he offered for him. So God's at work. Great to have it. Today's also the anniversary of the canonization of John Paul the Great. So we'll call upon him. He played such a big role in the message of divine mercy. And also the anniversary of those famed apparitions in the Ukraine. If I have a chance, a little bit later, I'll share more of that with you. But right now, let's go to Jenny. She's praying with us in New Mexico. Jenny, good afternoon.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm well.
I'd like to pray for my friend Amanda. She has had a mastectomy because she has breast cancer, for her healing and recovery, and also for a friend, Adriana. Her son just found out he was being abused at school and at home by another student, another little boy of his age, and she's very beside herself right now and just trying to work through what to do, and she's very scared.
Well, we'll pray for that situation. I know my call screener just told me in my headset that she has contacted authorities and they're getting the help. So let's pray for that mother now. We'll pray for the wisdom that she needs. Let's pray especially for the healing that this young boy needs. And Lord, I give to you those who've been abused. Abuse touches so many lives and so many families. Those of sexual abuse, those of verbal abuse, or those who are being abused physically, those in marriages. I just pray for healing for where there is this violence, where there's this lack of love, where, Lord, there's deep wounds I just come before your cross today. And this is something that's just, it's so hard and affects so many people. I just beg for your mercy on these souls. I pray for those with cancer, especially this intention for Jenny's friend with breast cancer, and all those who are awaiting their test results, those who are undergoing treatment, those who are in the fight for their life now. We bring you these souls. We bring you these intentions. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Charlotte is praying with us in Austin, Texas. Charlotte, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so much. I have a couple of requests. One is for a friend who has been diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. However, he isn't a Christian, so I pray for his conversion. And I pray for my husband and all family members. They have many issues, but where conversion is, for conversion where there is needed, and for a great nephew, Lincoln, who is 2 weeks old and has some minor health issues. Well, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you, Mary, for your call. Or thank you, Charlotte, for your call. Forgive me. Lord, again, I give you cancer. Stage 4. Cancer seems so big and so powerful and often seems so helpless against it. I know you are greater than cancer. So I give you all those in the fight with it again. I ask for your healing touch. And today, Father, I ask for miracles. I thank you for the miracles that we receive, the cancer cells disappearing, the tumor shrinking, the doctors not having explanations. So I'll never limit you. We had on the air yesterday a woman who was miraculously healed. And again, I just thank you for that evidence. We pray for conversion. I pray for all these intentions that Charlotte has brought forward. I want to add a friend of mine as well to this, Doug, who's having some heart issues as well, and I promised him my prayer, so I'll lift him up. And I just give everyone on hold right now, those who are united to me, Lord, you heard these intentions, so we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Before we go to our next call, let me bring Maggie in. As I said, at Drew Mariani Show, you can put your intentions, follow us on Twitter there. You can follow me personally at Drew Mariani as well. Of course, you can email us, drew@relevantradio.com. Maggie, who should we pray for today? What's coming in?
Wow, a lot of different tweets coming in, Drew. Jen wrote to us and said, my coworker Rhonda suffered a massive stroke Tuesday, the 26th, and this is her second stroke. The first she recovered quickly from, but this second one is much, much worse. So let's lift up Rhonda. Tanya wrote to us and said, will you please pray for my 24-year-old son, Sean, in the ER right now with GI issues? We were there on Sunday as well, and he had a GI doctor check him out in Chicago, but he really, really needs relief. Mary wrote to us and she said, please pray for my children and my husband. They're all struggling with addiction. Jeannie wrote to us and said, pray for my sister who has stage 4 cancer and has had 2 strokes. Oh. Linda wrote to us and said, wondering if you could pray for my brother Dave. He died and passed away at the beginning of the year. He did not have a mass said for him. He didn't go to church. I'm worried about his soul. Would you please add him to divine mercy? Amen. And then lastly, this one just came in from Hong, saying, praying for God's wisdom and courage for the talk that I need to have with my husband. Jesus, I trust in you.
Well, all right. We'll pray for you, Hong. That's for sure. Maggie, thank you for those intentions. And I do want to pray for addiction. There was a woman I met. We had to give a talk in Wausau, Wisconsin, this past Saturday. And I gave a talk about how the Feast of Mercy, how the floodgates of God's mercy are open. You can ask anything of God on that day. I was convinced of it. I prayed for a heroin addict, a friend of mine, who today is free from his addiction and is a real testimony of the power of this prayer and God's promise. I want you to know I'm praying for your son. She came up to me and asked me to pray for him. And I've been praying for him, and we'll pray for that healing. I want to pray for anyone who has addiction in their family right now. If it's alcohol addiction, if you're personally struggling with a sexual addiction, a proclivity to pornography or something else, I want to ask God to go in and heal that. If you are addicted to food, if you are addicted to anything that brings you away from God, I just ask right now that God will heal those deep psychological and spiritual wounds and give you the freedom that you deserve, that you need. I want to pray for the victims of stroke and cancer. I want to pray for those in marital relationships. I want to pray for conversion. Those who've died without the sacraments, Lord, you are love and mercy itself. And I just ask you to intercede. I know you're outside of time, so I pray for those who have gone before us that in that final hour, you'll give them the grace to choose you. And finally, we pray for all those in critical care in the ER now. We'll take Lupe in Torrance, California on the third decade. Lupe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, Lupe.
I asked for prayer for my dog, too. They bought a tumor, and she was bleeding to death. She gave medication. Now she's better. There was a car accident. They're blaming me, but my Lord knows it was not me.
No.
It caused my accident. My car was totaled. My dog is still sick, and she goes Friday for another follow-up. I pray to God that that tumor dissolves and this is back to normal.
Look, Lupe, we're going to pray for you. I'm glad you got through. And if you couldn't make that out, Lupe's dog has a tumor. It's bleeding. Is not well. She's being accused of being the cause of an accident. And she's facing a legal situation right now. And it wasn't her fault. Her car is totaled. And she just finds herself in a really difficult situation. I think of St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi. She was a saint who once said that, you know, you'll be consoled according to the greatness of your sorrow and affliction, that the greater your suffering, the greater will be your reward. And Lupe, I know that you're suffering deeply now. You're overwhelmed by your circumstance. You know, I know that it seems, you know, so large, there's no way out. I want to pray right now for Lupe and for everyone who's overwhelmed by their circumstances, by the struggle that they face, that boulder in their path that seems unmovable, no way around. Lord, I just ask you to dissolve these problems. You resolve them in miraculous ways. That you allow new beginnings. You allow truth to surface. That you just bless and reward the faith of all those now crying out to you. I pray on their behalf, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Sometimes I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit so powerfully in this prayer, and I know God's working. Really call upon the Lord for those intentions you have today and trust in him. Such a power when we're all together like this. Beth in Germany, thank you for joining us so late in the evening there. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Beth. Well, thanks.
I am praying specifically for housing situations. Many, many people are without housing. My family is currently facing an issue. Our landlord has sold our house. We have 3 more years here in Germany. My husband is active duty, and we're desperately searching for a house that will fit our needs. My parents are currently selling their house, and they did not get the best news on their inspection. And so I'm just praying that there's a quick solution found for them that won't be too detrimental to their budget. And then also the refugees from Ukraine, they just really have nowhere to go. As well as we had a very horrendous flood here in Germany last year, and there are people still without housing from last year.
Oh, how sad.
Just anybody who needs a place to live.
Well, Beth, first of all, thank you for joining me. Thanks for praying with us. And I was thinking about those poor people from Ukraine. You look at the footage of those, just the devastation. There's nowhere to go back. You're without your home, your job. It's just... Mm-hmm. It's devastating. We'll pray for them, but I want to pray for you and for your housing situation and for all of the intentions you just brought forward. And Lord, I love the fact that we are a global village, whether it's Germany or England, Britain, whether it is South Africa, people all over the world praying with us right now in this moment. I know you hear these prayers. And Beth, as you were talking, I just kept thinking of Diary Entry 1578. It's one of my favorites where the Lord talks about trust. He says, the graces of my mercy are drawn down by one vessel only, and that's trust, that the more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. Let's trust for you right now. Let's pray the Lord's going to open those perfect opportunities, give the right housing, answer all those prayers you put forward. Lord, I know you desire to grant unimaginable graces to those who trust in your mercy. I know you said that, you know, you often give more than we ask. So right now, I just pray for those who are in desperate need of having these prayers answered. And I ask in a very visible way today, you put into motion answers to their prayers. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And Beth, I'll be praying for you, and I'll be praying for anyone looking for housing, trying to sell their home, trying to buy their home, trying to rent, trying to qualify, who's looking for the money for all that. I know that's a big issue for so many people right now. I want to pray for those who have no place, the homeless as well, those refugees. The Lord will be merciful. Maria in Fremont, California, thank you for joining us today. Hi, Maria, are you with me? All right. All right.
Lift up my 3-year-old niece who was just diagnosed with a tumor on her kidney, and they're scheduling her for surgery to put in a port so they can start chemotherapy in hopes to shrink that tumor before they surgically remove it.
All right. Well, let's pray for that. We'll pray that tumor today shrinks and that doctors will be amazed. And if it's through, you know, medical means, the Lord will bring about that healing. Let's pray for that too. But let's pray for complete and total recovery. I want to pray for all children right now who are ill, who need surgery, Lord, who are battling cancer and other ailments. I pray for those children right now, and I ask for your mercy on them. Mary in Chicago, I'll sneak you in here as well. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Drew. I'd like to pray for Deacon Sonny Annarino and his wife, Barb. He is with the Archdiocese of Chicago. He just had a heart attack and is not expected to survive. Right now, he's at the ICU at Northwest Community Hospital in Arlington Heights, Illinois.
All right, well, let's pray for him. We'll lift him up right now. Whatever God's will is, if it's miraculous healing, a return to life, we ask first and foremost for that. Lord, if it's his hour and you're calling him home, we ask that paradise will be what he enters into. But I give you all those approaching the hour of their death. I give you all those in critical care, and I give you the needs and the wants, the desires of everyone now praying with me. Beth in Germany, and Vicky, and Gloria, and Mary, and Charlotte, and Joanne, and Alicia, and Lupe, and Estella, and Monique, and everyone who is on hold with us now, everyone who's written, everyone united to us, wherever they may be. We, your loving children, come to you, trusting in your fatherly care, concern, love, and mercy, we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Michalenko,
pray for us.
All of your patron saints, all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hey, when I come back, there's this phenomena that happens at the site where Christ rose from the dead, the Holy Sepulchre. It's known as the Holy Fire. I didn't talk about it this year. When I come back, I'll tell you about, there's no explanation for this phenomena, and it happens on the Holy Saturday of the Orthodox Church. Let me tell you what happened this year, and I'll tell you a little bit about this if you're not familiar with it when I return.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Do you hear that noise? That is the sound that comes from the newly renovated edicule located in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. The Greek Orthodox Patriarch of Jerusalem. It's an incredible event that takes place. It enters the chamber where Jesus' tomb is located. He goes in the dark. He brings in with him a bundle of 33 candles. Then he says a prayer while the Armenian and Coptic patriarchs wait outside the tomb. And from the place where Jesus lay, they say that an unearthly light emanates from the tomb. And then it eventually turns into a fire. And this light actually lights the candles that he carries. And he brings them out to those gathered, and there the light gets shared It's a little bit like what we Catholics do on the Easter Vigil, but it's a pretty bizarre phenomenon. I mean, this blue light comes from nowhere and ignites these candles. It's known as the miracle of the Holy Father. It's said to have been going on every year now for centuries on end. And every year I look at it because I just think it's a fascinating phenomenon. You know, Jerusalem is considered by billions of people around the world, really, to be considered the holiest city in the world. I'm going in October. I can't wait to go back. I've been there a few times before, and I hope you can. You know, I hope you can join me on a trip like that. It'd be wonderful. It's going to be a very spirit-filled experience. So, you know, pray about that. If anybody wants information, yeah, simply have to go to relevantradio.com/Holy Land. You can get all the details. But Christians of all denominations from around the world, they go on pilgrimage. They walk in the very footsteps of Christ. My daughter's on pilgrimage right now over there, and she says, "Dad, it's so weird being in the very place that Jesus walked, where he performed his miracles. You know, it's kind of surreal. It's kind of hard for me to get my head around that." No question, it's the holiest city for Jews because it's where the temple was, right? It's a place where God manifested himself, where their sins were expiated by the sacrifices of bulls and sheep. And for Muslims, it's the third holiest site for their religion because they believe Muhammad was taken up to heaven at the site of where the mosque is there. And you'll see pictures of the Golden Dome. Dome of the Rock is the place where they believe that took place. Of course, there are tensions in this city. There have always been. In fact, despite being such an anointed place, I believe one of the most sacred places on the planet, it's also one of the most disputed in the world. And that does not help matters, right? And of course, Satan brings a spirit of division. I think that's one of the reasons you see that. He was defeated on the soil of Golgotha, right? On Calvary. It doesn't help matters when the Israeli government starts closing off some of the holiest cities, sites there to Christians at the holiest time of the year. And I don't know if you follow this story or not. It hasn't been reported much here in the States, but the Israeli government only allowed 1,000 people into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre this past Saturday night. That's when that holy fire normally takes place. You might remember, as I said, the Orthodox Church uses a little bit of a different calendar than the rest of the Christian world. So it's rare when we Catholics and Orthodox celebrate Easter on the same day. This year, our celebrations were a week apart. So the Orthodox were gathering, there for what was known as the Holy Fire. You heard Father Simon last year and multiple years talk about this in the past. And again, that's where the priest goes in and this phenomenon of the light takes place. And it's been happening for centuries. But this year, the Israeli government limited the number of people only to 1,000. The church can hold 10,000, just to give you some perspective. So for Palm Sunday, they only allowed, four scout groups to participate in the annual procession with palms. And they weren't giving out permits to local Palestinian Christians to participate. So the government claimed these were security measures. I've invited to join me today the Palestinian ambassador to the Holy See. And it's great to have with me Issa Kassisie to join us, along with Jacob Khalid. He's the president of Nativity Pilgrimage. And again, you can find more about him at nativitypilgrimage.com. He goes by Jacob. And Jacob, let me first welcome you. It's great to have you with us this afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Drew. Happy Easter. And it's an honor to be again with you.
It's an honor to have you. Please introduce for everyone, if you could, the Palestinian ambassador to the Holy See.
Yeah, we are very blessed today to have His Excellency, Mr. Issa Kassisie. He born, raised, lived in Jerusalem all his life. And for sure, as you mentioned, he's the ambassador, the Palestinian ambassador for the Holy See. He's part of the Palestinian higher community for the churches in general, all kind of churches. And he's very well known and respect in all over the Holy Land and Europe. It's an honor to have him. So, Your Excellency.
Thank you. Thank you for this great introduction. Much appreciated. Yes, absolutely. I'm Jerusalemite, and Jerusalem is part and parcel of my heritage, my identity, my roots.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us, Your Excellency. Ambassador, let's start with what's happening there right now. The Israeli government is citing security measures as being the reason for limiting the number of people in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre on Saturday night. What's going on? Give us a sense of what's happening on the ground. Why were they afraid something would happen if there were more than 1,000 people allowed in there? I'd love to get your take on that.
Yeah, first we have, you know, I mean, to make a point that Jerusalem is the center city for the Christian world. It's from there, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, was crucified, and it's there, you know, he walked all through Via Dolorosa. So it's a sacred city. And as you mentioned also, it's not just for the Christians. It's for the Jews and for the Muslims. Actually, tonight, for the Muslims, they're celebrating, you know, the symbol of Prophet Muhammad going up to heaven, especially this night. So you see the narrow streets of Jerusalem is packed by people. As well, last week also, you know, Jews celebrated their Pesach. So with the bigger picture, you see that, you know, Jerusalem is the spiritual capital, spiritual center for the three monotheistic religions. And the beauty of the holy city is the mosaic. It's mosaic. And it's very important that we maintain this mosaic. We respect each other, and we make sure that the right. city is the center, the holy center for the three religions, where each would respect the other. Now, with regard to also the Holy Week, and especially for the Holy Saturday, yes, in fact, you know, I mean, unfortunately, every year we see more complications, more restrictions by the Israeli side, not to allow the faithful to reach to their destination, mainly to the Holy Sepulchre, or even surrounding the Holy Sepulchre. Mm-hmm. So you wake up in the morning, Saturday morning, with your family, and you wanted, you know, in a spiritual way, you wanted to go and pray and celebrate the Holy Fire. But then you are challenged, and you are faced by senseless restrictions, checkpoints, shovings, and you know, tens and hundreds of police force for nothing, you know, for nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So this would create not the conducive atmosphere or the spiritual atmosphere we wanted to see, especially for this day. And as a result, you see frictions, you see anger, you see complications. And who and why to restrict, you know, why to restrict me to reach to my church, to St. Jacob right. Church or to the Holy Sepulchre Church? It is my basic right to reach to the church and pray. This is a basic right. And Israel always, you know, talks about freedom of religion, freedom of reaching to the holy shrines. But this is, in fact, you know, I mean, a great statement. But, you know, on the ground, we see more complications. And you don't understand why the police also are not understanding or respecting the feelings of the people. So this year, if you watch, you know, the social media, you see, you know, how people are angry, how the Israeli police are putting the blocks, the checkpoints, pushing people, shoving the people, as I said, you know, with senseless restrictions. But at the end, you know, we make sure that the traditions are preserved, and we are in the heart of the Holy Sepulchre. Me, myself, representing my family since century, we hold bearer and we go around the tomb, and this we do despite all the obstacles, despite Beautiful. All the impediments, well, and despite Ambassador. All the difficulties. Why? Because we have a strong belief. We are believers, and we are the protectors of the holy shrines, and we continue this path.
Ambassador, I got to hold it right there for a moment. I'll take a short pause. If you're just joining us, we're speaking today to the Palestinian ambassador to the Holy See. It's great to have him with us. Isa Kasie, and we'll take your calls if you want to join us. Or I should say Kasie. I want to make sure I get his last name right. And take a look at what's happening over the Holy Land right now. Yesterday, last Saturday, was the Great Feast of the Holy Fire. We'll talk about that when I return. Stay with me. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, flexible premium life insurance. You know, for less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Get caught up on that conversation you missed by going to the Relevant Radio archives. Just select The Drew Mariani Show.
Well, thanks for joining me. If you're just getting plugged in, I'm speaking today with the Palestinian ambassador to the Holy See, Isa Kasie, along with Jacob Khalid. He goes by Jacob. You can learn more about him. He's a president of Nativity Pilgrimage and takes many pilgrims back and forth to the Holy Land. We're taking a look at what happened in the Holy Land this past weekend, especially regarding a phenomenon that often happens known as the Holy Fire. And Jacob, let me start with you, and then we'll go back to the ambassador. What do you know about this phenomena of holy fire? Were you ever there? Have you ever seen that take place where this light emanates and suddenly all these candles become lit, and it only happens in the Orthodox Church on their Holy Saturday, the day before Resurrection Sunday? What do you know about it?
I did witness that over 10 times in my life.
Wow.
You know, when I grew up, I need special permission to go to Jerusalem as a Palestinian. And I get the chance to witness that for more than 10 times. It's the most special moment in our life, you know, as a Christian, when we watch this and witness this, you know. As we know, the church is kind of empty. The Holy Tomb, the Israeli soldiers now, before by historical, that start with the Turkish. You know, they usually go and seal the tomb, make sure there is nothing, it could cause a fire. And then there's three patriarchs. Usually they allow the Greek Orthodox patriarch to go there while wearing a white robe. You know, he pray, and the people out, they shouting, you know, Lord have mercy. They chant all over the church, you know, all of them. And then the blue fire, we call it, the holy fire, it came out, it stunned the church within a moment. That holy fire, or the miracle of the holy fire, it's appeared every year in the same time. And that's why, and the Orthodox believe it's the most holy day, because that's announced that the Lord, he's risen from the tomb. So the tomb, it's truly empty. Let me tell you something about that holy fire. Mm-hmm. It doesn't burn, you know, and I experienced that myself. So it's very, very special moment, and it's been there for generation. And 1 year, the Armenian and the Orthodox, they have issue. So the Armenian Orthodox patriarch, he have more power with the Sultan, the Turkish at the time, you know, and he didn't allow the Christian to go inside the holy tomb.
Right.
Okay? When you go in October, you visit the Holy Sepulchre Church. Before your main entrance on the left, there's a column. Because they closed the church, the holy fire came out from that column. And this is a miracle everybody witnessed, and everybody at the time talk about it. So it's truly holy fire. It's from the Holy Temple of Jesus. It's announced that the Lord is resurrected.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, let me do this. I know we have the ambassador with us. Mary is listening in El Paso, Texas. And she's got a question for, I think, the both of you. May, in El Paso, Texas. Good afternoon. You're on the air with the ambassador and with Jacob.
Hi. Just good afternoon. I'm actually packing right now to go on a trip and a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. It has been postponed for a couple of years due to COVID, so we're finally on. And I've been seeing some videos of conflict around some of the sites that we're going to going to go to. So I just want to know what to be forewarned with or what to be prepared for.
That's a great
because it's been a 2-year delay, and we're so excited to finally be able to go. But these videos are kind of scary.
So, May, first of all, thank you. Have a great trip.
What do you recommend?
Have a great trip and pray for us over there. And let me throw that both to the ambassador and to Jacob. How safe is it over there, and what will she expect to encounter?
Your Excellency, you want to answer?
Yeah, it's actually relatively safe. And we, after as the COVID is behind us, we have started seeing, pilgrims coming in and visiting the holy city of Jerusalem or the Nativity Church in Bethlehem. But, I had a specific question about the Holy Saturday. That day is an issue not because of anything, but because, as I said, of the checkpoints and the restrictions the Israeli police imposed on the believers. And as a result, we have to keep in mind that the heads of churches, Patriarch Theopolos, other patriarchs, rejected such restrictions to the believers to reach to the Holy Sepulchre. And they came out strongly with their own statements rejecting such acts. And the message of the heads of churches, this is a holy city, it's open for all, and we say that let the children celebrate without fear of confrontation, let these traditions that are centuries old continue in peace. Jerusalem should be open to all who wish to pray in peace with no checkpoints and roadblocks, no harassment or humiliation.
Right.
Pray for peaceful and free celebrations, and continue to pray for peace in Jerusalem. And we have to keep in mind that this year, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, also in his Easter message, he asked from you, from everybody, to pray for peace for the Middle East. And specifically, he talked about Jerusalem when he said, Let us ask for peace upon Jerusalem and peace upon all those who love her, Christians, Jews, and Muslims alike, and the pilgrims. So, in general, this is a peaceful city. You can come in October and you will see, everybody is welcoming you. And as I said, our message to the Israeli police, live and let live, let our children, celebrate and practice such traditions, old traditions.
Ambassador, I got to leave it right there because I'm out of time. Anyway, thank you for being with us. But May, to your point, my daughter is over in the Holy Land right now. She took a pilgrimage over with her parish.
Can I say something, Drew? Can you give me a minute?
Sure. You only have about a minute, though, Jacob, because we've got a hard break.
That's good enough. I want to tell that lady, she's been with us, go enjoy it. Don't let the fear be in your heart. Believe in the Lord. He's going to protect you. There is nothing going in the Holy Land. Seriously, you have to worry about it. And most of the pilgrim, their route, it's away from, if there's any tension, it's going to happen, like around the Dome of the Rock. They're not going to send you that area. Go enjoy it, as His Excellency said. It's most beautiful city in the world. It's very peaceful. Two nation, three religious. And I tell everybody, we never, ever historically, we have any attack against pilgrims. It's never happened in Jerusalem. So just go enjoy it and, have peace, have the Lord in your heart.
Well, Jacob, thank you.
God will walk with you.
Amen.
Ambassador, God will work with you.
Thank you for being with us. A delight to have you here. And Jacob, I look forward to seeing you too at some point. And I look forward to going. I know I'm heading over in October and May. My daughter's there with her parish. I'm going to go with Jacob for the first time. I've never traveled with Jacob, so I know he's one of the best when it comes to being over there. And I wouldn't go if I didn't feel it was safe to be there. It's an anointed place, a place where Christ walked, where miracles to this day take place, and it's an experience of a lifetime. One of the very few places in the world I think every Christian should go. The Holy Land is certainly one of those. Jacob Khalid, thank you. Ambassador, thank you. We'll catch up again soon, okay? I'll leave it right there.
God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. God, thank you for having us.
Christ God is bless risen. You. Christ
thank
is risen.
You.
He is indeed risen. Thank
yeah,
you.
He
Amen.
Is indeed risen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll re-echo that.
Hallelujah.
So I got to leave it right there. When we come back, I'm going to change gears. But just a final note, this holy fire, if you want more information on it, gosh, maybe I'll talk more about it coming up, in the next hour. It's an incredible phenomenon. It really is. And that takes place at the place where, Christ was buried, the Holy Sepulcher. I'll be praying for you there when I go over, so, I'll let you know. Don't send them yet, but in a couple weeks, I'm going to set something up so you can send me your petitions, and I'll pray for you at the Holy Sepulcher. I'll pray for you at Calvary. I'll pray for you at Cana. I'll pray for you at all these holy places. If you want information on the trip, you can simply go to relevantradio.com.